I want this morning to start with Peter's question. How many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? How many times should I forgive someone who does something wrong to me? I'm sure Peter, in his suggestion, thought he was being generous when he said as many as seven times. There are, of course, slight textual difficulties with Jesus' reply. This translation, the New Revised Standard Version, gives it as not seven, but 77 times. 77 times. Some other texts give it as 70 times seven, which of course equals 490. But what is Jesus trying to say when he does this? Well, of course, what you have to tackle is the Jewish understanding of numbers. Seven, in Jewish thought, is the perfect number. Hence, my description of Peter's suggestion as being generous. He thought he was being perfect, offering to forgive seven times. And however you interpret the answer as either of Jesus, either as 77 or 70 times seven, what Jesus is basically, I think, trying to say is perfection times perfection is how many times you have to forgive. There is no point where we can stop offering forgiveness. And of course, to emphasize his answer, Jesus tells the importance of forgiveness. He tells the parable, which is usually known as the parable of the unmerciful servant or the unmerciful slave. He starts it by saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to." Of course, this is Matthew, who, like a good Jew, doesn't like using the name of God, and so says kingdom of heaven in his gospel, whereas the other gospels, of course, have the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying that God's kingdom can be illustrated by a story from an earthly kingdom. The king decides to sort out the kingdom's finances and calls those who owe money to account. And he calls in the servant who owes 10,000 talents. Now, of course, when we read scripture and come to weights, measures, and financial terms in scripture, it's always difficult to put them into a present-day context, certainly into a 21st century context. One footnote in one Bible translation says that one talent was what an ordinary labourer would earn in 20 years. One talent is what an ordinary labourer would earn in 20 years. In other words, the point, of course, that Jesus is making is that it's a vast debt that this servant or slave owes. In other words, the debt was massive. And because he couldn't pay, the king imposed the normal punishment. The wife and children, I'm afraid, were seen as part of the man's goods and chattels, and they were all to be sold. The servant pleads, promising what almost he certainly couldn't fulfill, the amount of money he owed, that he would pay back in due course, and the king relents and forgives. He forgives the massive debt. Then, of course, as the story goes on, the forgiven servant goes out and sees a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii. Back to monetary measures. A denarius was a day's pay for a manual labourer. So that gives you some idea of the comparison. A denarius was a day's pay for a manual labourer. Jesus' first hearers, and of course us, are meant to see the utter contrast between the two sums of money, 10,000 talents over and against 100 denarii, in terms of what debt is to be forgiven. But of course, the slave doesn't forgive his fellow slave, the same procedure as the king, but shows no mercy or forgiveness, has the small debtor thrown into prison. Clearly, in this kingdom that Jesus is describing, there was something called the grapevine, because the word got back round to the king, or the lord of the kingdom, of what had happened. All this is reported back to him, and of course, the rest of the story, as you heard me read it, as you have it printed there in your bulletin, unfolds. So, what are we to take from this? What message are we to take from this teaching of Jesus in response to Peter's question? Well, our debt to God, our failure to love God and our neighbour, is great and needs divine forgiveness, as we spoke a little bit about when David was talking. We cannot repay, we cannot earn our salvation. And yet God in Christ is merciful. Remember the response of our psalm this morning. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. Therefore, we who have been forgiven so much need to, in turn, forgive when someone does wrong to us. And how many times? Perfection times perfection. We will, of course, later in this service say the Lord's Prayer. Our printed form is in the more modern form. Many of you will know it by heart as "and forgive us our trespasses" rather than "forgive us our sins." Of course, trespass has come to mean in more recent times going onto someone else's property without permission. Hence we say "forgive us our sins," same thing though. But, and when we say that, we also say "as we forgive those who sin against us." And as I know I've said when preaching from here before, what you get when you've been in a place for nearly 6 years, repeating yourself, is that the actual Greek is "as we have already forgiven those who sin or trespass against us." For we cannot ask for forgiveness if we have not offered it ourselves in the first place. Therefore, as Jesus emphasizes at the end of the parable, forgiveness offered needs to be genuine. Do you notice? "So my Heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." In other words, casual words are not forgiveness, are not enough. Forgiveness needs to be genuine from the heart. As a good Anglican, I'm a great believer in liturgy. But there is always a danger when we work our way through the service as we are today of saying things by rote, of saying them because they're printed there on the page and we know we ought to repeat them. So later in this service, when we come to say the familiar words of the Lord's Prayer, where we ask for God's forgiveness, and in turn, we need to genuinely be willing to offer forgiveness for those who have and do sin against us. Think very carefully as you say those familiar words, "forgive us our sins, as we forgive or already have forgiven those who sin against us." As Jesus said, that forgiveness needs to come from the heart. So this morning, as Christians, we are a forgiven people. We shall celebrate the forgiveness that we've received in bread and wine to remind us of the work of Christ on the cross. And as Christians and as a forgiving, a given people, we are therefore in turn called to be a forgiving people to one another and to those with whom we mix, work, and live. May we seek the forgiveness for our own sins and in turn be willing to forgive those who sin against us. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.